Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to our New Year's Day special. We're calling this one the Watchful Dozen. While these companies didn't make our top 12 radar picks for 2026, they've got our attention. We'll break down each one, why they're on our watch list, and what could put them in the spotlight this year. So sit back, because these under the radar names might just be tomorrow's top stories. So let's dive straight in, Kev, and no particular order. Do you want to start us off?
Yeah, okay, let's start off with an A. So we'll start off with Aterion. I think Aterion has sort of lined its things up now, and this Lithosquare deal that they did, AI deal that they did with their licenses in Morocco and Botswana, I personally think it's going to be a game changer during 2026. It's got a £4 million market capitalization. If they actually get that and the trading right this year, along with the numerous other things that they've got going on, especially in Rwanda, then I think this could be a making of the company year. Wouldn't surprise me to see sort of a market cap in excess of £10 million by the end of the year. But yeah, again, let's see. The next one is Conroy Gold. Do you want to bring us up to date on Conroy?
Yeah, Conroy. Yeah, I mean, obviously the Discs of Gold project, as they're calling it. I mean, there's obviously a few updates. The back end of last year, there was the drilling program commenced at Clontibret, which we saw, I think it was like the middle of December. The first drill hole in a 2,000 meter drilling program was underway, with a second drill rig to be mobilized to accelerate the program. Initial hole targeting over 500 meters vertical depth, deepest test to date, and the program is designed to test newly identified gold and antimony plunge trends and expand existing resource. Do you think 2026 is going to be the year that Conroy kind of delivers? It's had quite a few false starts, you know. We saw with Demir.
It's got to come one of these days. The thing is, the thing that gets me this time is that they're going to try and drill deep in Clontibret. This is going to basically define whether Clontibret is effectively 2 million ounces or more if these drill holes come in. Then it becomes clay. I mean, we've obviously got Clay Lake as well, which could be huge as well. But they need to make one asset work, and I think that's going to be Clontibret. We've also got the antimony there at Clontibret as well. So yeah, I think it will. I think it will change. If these drilling results come in the way that they're hoping, then I think that's going to attract the major to turn around and put the money in, to be honest. That's what I think is going to happen. Is that going to happen in the first half of the year? Probably not. Is it going to happen in the second half of the year? Probably quite likely. With the gold prices we've got, it is so valuable. I mean, even the 500,000 ounces they've got at the minute is worth way more than the market cap in the JORC report. So, yeah.
They did a non-brokered fundraise as well, didn't they, in the beginning of October for like £1.7 million. So that fundraise was obviously oversubscribed and obviously was open to existing and new shareholders. Yeah. But presumably that money or the investors are going to contribute meaningfully to those discs project that they've talked about going forward as they progress the targeted exploration. But do you think that they're going to be funded now going into that drilling campaign that I alluded to?
Oh, yeah, that's funded. That's part of that 1.7 million for sure. I think they're funded throughout 2026. If the share price starts to appreciate, so at 23p, we've got warrants coming in then as well for a previous raise, which are due, I think, the middle of 2026. I think it may be July or August, something like that. So potentially that would be another cash flow amount if the share price gets up there, which yeah. I think potentially if these results are good, we're going to see quite a run in it, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, it was, what, 40, 50p two and a half years ago?
I mean, it dropped back to almost half the price it was now. It was sort of around the 11 pence mark as we move into the new year. But yeah, I mean, let's move on to the next company. Obviously, a very, very well connected company in terms of connections with Conroy, Karelian Diamond Resources. I think 2026 could be pivotal with the Latjoki diamond mine in Finland moving towards production. You know, they're seeking strategic investment to bring it to life. Meanwhile, they're also expanding their exploration of the nickel, copper, and platinum in Northern Ireland, which you've visited, and you can talk about a little bit more, tapping into both diamonds and base metals. So if they secure funding and progress permits, then they could see a meaningful project milestones next year.
Yeah, well, it's very small valuation. So if there is good news there and any murmur of stuff going on, then I think it's off to the races. If you want to know, the fountain of all knowledge on this is Steve Comber on any of the groups. So if you want to look out for him, he will give you chapter and verse on it. He's been following now for over 10 years. I think he owns about 8 or 9% of the company. And I personally think that the license is worth a lot of money. The license is worth, let's say, 10 million euros to somebody who wants to advance it, just because of the time frame and the hassle and everything else that it's taken to get it. Well, the market cap is only a million or something like that, so it seems a bit strange that that is the case. So yeah.
Okay, GreenX, next one. I mean, this is one we visited, and it's actually a really is a compelling investment in terms of, they're awaiting the outcome of Poland's challenge to this 252 million euro arbitration award, and Polish leadership in the form of Donald Tusk has actually admitted that they're likely they will have to pay. And meanwhile, GreenX is obviously expanding, securing the Tannenberg copper project, which we saw the news at the back end of last year that they'd gone into, they'd basically gone, sorry, 90% ownership in Germany, and they'd expanded the area up to something, so it was like 1,900 square kilometers. And if arbitration funds come through and German exploration advances, I think GreenX could be in for a transformative year in 2026.
Yeah, this was one of those ones that really nearly did make the top 12. I think all three of us, Charles, me, and you, were umming and ahhing about whether we should choose it. And obviously, the downside is the downside is also the upside, that if they get a ruling in terms of the Polish stuff, then it's going to fly. If they don't, then it's obviously going to be a downside. But the German assets are probably worth the market cap anyway. But
Yeah.
we will
Did
see.
you see the announcement they put out? I kind of missed it, and I feel the market missed it. It was at the back end of last year. They talked about their gold, tungsten, and antimony project at the 100% owned Eleanor North in East Greenland. It's an underexplored province with growing strategic relevance, and they'd done some surface work there that confirmed that the outcropping gold and this high grade antimony at the NOA prospect. And the mineralization extended over up to 15 kilometers and sits above this large geophysical anomaly. So a bit more work to do. There was obviously historical sampling there, which showed grades of 23% antimony and 4 grams per ton of gold, which was supported by chip samples. So something, I guess, the market has largely missed. The company GreenX plans to finalize a 2026 field program targeting the shallow gold and high grade tungsten antimony. So, these resources we've talked about, gold is obviously in all time highs. Tungsten is massively, when you look at the projects we've talked about with other companies like Guardian and antimony as well, it's had a good run. Obviously, it's dropped up back a little bit. But what do you make of that? The fact that they've got this 100% owned project in Greenland.
Yeah, I mean, it's another plus, isn't it? And they're moving. Hopefully, they're going to move past this thing in Poland. If they get it okayed and then potentially get the money from Poland, then they're going to be absolutely fantastic position, aren't they? They're going to be unbelievable. So yeah, I think it's going to do well.
Okay, next one.
So moving on to the next one, it's Galileo Resources. Well, Lou and Sobey, we've been there. If you remember hacking through the bushes. Is it going to be developed? Is it going to be sold? What's going to happen to it? The reality is, it alone is worth more than the market cap of Galileo. That is without question, as far as I can see. You've also got Galileo going into the deal with Jubilee, taking 23% of the asset that they've got. The what was
Lefty.
the Malefi? So they've got 23% of that asset, and I forget the names of the other assets, but you're going to remind me.
Well, they've got obviously the Ferber property in Nevada, which was there was some exploration done at the sort of back end of last year. They've obviously got the Kalahari Copperbelt drilling, which they provided an update on in the past. You've also mentioned the fact that they've got Lunahuasi, which let's hope that there's some sort of deal coming in 2026. Shiganga is another project which we've talked about
Shinganda
in
is
the
the one, yeah.
past. And the other one is they've got the Kashitu project as well, which is in Kashitu is effectively a zinc lead mine adjacent to the town of Kabwe in Zambia as well. And they've also got the Western Foreland licenses, license 28001 as well. So when you actually look at the number of assets in different projects within Galileo, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, they've just got to monetize one or two of them, and it will be off to the races. We've said it before. We said it in our 12 picks. We picked Bazant, African Pioneer, and Extract, and we could have picked Galileo as well easily, but we didn't, and that's one of the reasons why we're talking about it now. But yeah, it has massive potential. Just thought the other three might have more potential in this coming year, but you never know. You never know if there's a sale or something happens like that. You never know.
So moving on to the next company, one that you know a lot more about is East Star Resources.
Yeah, East Star Resources. Wow. Again, to be honest, they were millimeters away from going into my top 12. Or going into the top 12. The reality of the situation is the deals that he struck on Vancouver with the Chinese, where he's got a 30% free carry all the way through, is phenomenal. You know, phenomenal. It's going to basically mean probably within 2 years, $8 to $10 million free cash flow into East Star. Still got a very small market cap in terms of the potential for that. And the interesting part about it is this is a VMS system. If you've been listening to us before, you know what a VMS system is. It's a volcanic mass sulfide. So in other words, it's almost like was at the bottom of a sea at one point, and these things came to the surface and became like black mounds, if you like, only huge different things. Now, in this area in Vancouver, there are many of these. And the other one that they've already brought up is nearly twice the size of this one that they've done on Vancouver. I can see a 70-30 in East Star's favor on maybe the next one, especially if they have the cash flow to flow it through. This will mean, great stuff. They've also got gold assets as well and a copper porphyry that they're working on in Kazakhstan. Alex Walker is talking about it being a $1 billion company. So, yeah, let's see. But I cannot wax lyrical about it on the roaster before Christmas. That to me, this is worth. You know, certainly 10p, 20p, maybe even 30p as it stands, with what they've got potentially again. Similar situation to Bazant. It's not been, the valuation is not shining through yet. I don't know why.
Okay, good luck with them. Yeah, I mean it's certainly that agreement that came in the just JV for Vancouver looks very exciting. Next company, First Class Metals. We've obviously recently had James and Mark back on the podcast after what feels like quite a while, and I think we pretty much drilled down into all of their assets, which look, some amazing assets within the portfolio of First Class Metals. There was an announcement that came out on at the back end of last year where, if you remember, that I think it was about 33.5% of the company, which was currently controlled by administrators following that insolvency of the 79th Group, that they were exploring selling some or all of that stake. So obviously, while a buyer has shown interest in part of the holding, there is no firm deal yet and no certainty that a controlling stake will change hands. What do you make of that news that came out at the back end of Christmas?
My view on First Class Metals is that if you look at their assets, they've got three decent gold assets, one that has a JORC on it already, then you've got Sunbeam, and then you've got the Hemlo project itself. It's contiguous, or whatever the word is, with the Hemlo mining company that's just been set up with a £1 billion purchase from Barrick. Yeah, how's that worth sort of 4 or 5 million pounds in today's gold market is beyond me. Like, I mean, there is huge upside potential, I think, in what they've got. Each one of those assets, I think, could be standalone, be worth 4 or 5 million pounds. That's my view on it. And one of the reasons why We're talking about it now. Why I think it wasn't picked is just because there's some uncertainties around all of those different things, including this takeover side of things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Green Rock is the next one, moving back over to Greenland. Good year for them in 2025. But obviously the grant funding came in the back end of 2025 as well. But it just looks like it's potential there to keep moving into 2026. It feels like it's still very much the early stage.
Yeah, I think strategic asset in Europe now. So why shouldn't it carry on and do well? It's just what stage is it at is the question, I think, in terms of how much longer will it be? We're talking about the Lassonde curve then, aren't we? So how much longer will it be? But again, if it's the right time for it, could go ballistic. So now we're moving off resource and coming on to WECAP, which I think is going to have a stellar 2026. If you don't know the story behind WECAP, WECAP basically bought 12% of WeShop shares, or has that from pre-IPO time. And WeShop listed on the US or in the US on the Nasdaq. It's currently valued at a £1.5 billion, and therefore, the read over, if it was just straight read over valuation, would put the WeShop shares at around 25 to 30 pence. And they're currently 2p when we record this. So the scenario is there's got to be a superb arbitrage there. A superb. Now, the WeShop idea, if it catches on, where people get shares in a company, if they buy from all of these retailers that they normally buy from anyway, I think is going to catch on. And especially in a time where people want to make the most of their money, because I think we're going to go into harder and harder times for people. So they're going to be spending it and then still getting the benefit from it. Yes, it's 12 months down the line that they get the benefit, but that whole process, I think, will mean that WeShop in the US will be worth more and more and more. And then you've got the expansion of WeShop into Europe and the expansion of WeShop into Asia. I think it's a real winner, and I think could be a real winner for a few years. So the only fly in the ointment of why it didn't get my pick this year was because they owe about £6.5 million in a loan. Now, in comparison to which is due in about May, which is likely to be extended, I would suggest. But in the grand scheme of having assets worth probably £100 million, that doesn't seem too bad, and anybody who's lending that money is surely going to be wise and get themselves a decent deal in terms of what the situation is. So that was WeCap.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, as you say, it's all down to how the performance of WeShop, isn't it? In terms of that, I like the model. I love that loyalty, the fact that you buy almost like a mutual where you're buying goods, you're getting Class B shares in the company as loyalty bonuses, and you own part of that company. I think it's, and as you say, they actually expanded their position in terms of the number of shares that they held at WeCap holding in WeShop at the back end of last year. So yeah, let's see what comes of that one as it moves into,
I
and
think
hopefully they prove up.
I think the interesting part is just the dynamics of WeCap to WeShop. WeShop shares would have to be worth less than $15 for you not to have the value in the WeCap shares at the minute. It's currently $110 a share, I think, and has been as high as $200 a share. If WeShop starts to accelerate, we're going to see that gap go smaller and smaller. I mean, the gap's absolutely ridiculous at the minute, 2p to 26. I mean, that's just mental. So I think it's a matter of
So
time.
that's the arbitrage. Effectively, the valuation of those shares is real world is 26 pence.
Yeah, at the minute, yeah.
Okay, next one we've got obviously Quantum Data Energy, which was previously known as Mast Energy Developments. I think 2025 has been a transformational year with the company rebuilding from a sub 1 million market cap from memory, and the net liabilities position to circa 7 million valuation following a 5 million equity raise that cleared nearly all the PLC level debt and left a strong cash position to fund the growth. It's 100% owned 8.1 megawatt Pybridge flexible generation asset delivered record power output and revenues, And the 7.5 megawatt Hindlip FlexGen project was fully funded on a non-dilutive basis via the £5 million project level JV, and is now under construction ahead of expected production in Q1 2026. So things to look forward to, as you say, that the Hindlip coming on into production. The company also expanded its development with this low-cost 25 megawatt FlexGen portfolio, progressing brownfield acquisitions, and then change direction into this AI data center power strategy through new joint ventures. So they also completed a strategic rebrand, as I said, and positioned itself for further scale, with management targeting rapid progress towards a 300 megawatt platform in 26. So I think 26 could be a good year for quantum data energy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, ultimately, it's been bashed down by the warrant holders, partially out of the equation on the 11th of January. I'm completely out of the equation by June, I think it is. So the reality is, at this price, at 4p, 4.5p right now, the warrants are at 4p. So effectively, you're buying at the same price. But MAST is a completely different company than it was a year ago in terms of what they actually achieved on the ground. So you got to look at the share price as one thing and what's on the ground as one. As we said, we picked it last year as one of our stocks. It did 2,500%. If you didn't sell, then sorry, but you should have taken some money off the table. The reality is, will it do the same thing again? I very much doubt it. But can I see it do three, four, five times what the value is at the minute? If they get the AI center thing right, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the next one, we got Buccaneer Energy, Buse. They relatively newcomer in terms of, I guess, the strategy changed, you know, as in like 25, we saw them come to change. They had the Paul Welch came on. He was an ex-SDX CEO. And yeah, I mean, they've announced an RNS at the back end of last year. The first well, Fook, I believe, was a duster, wasn't it? And the share price was hammered. I mean, this is a problem, isn't it, Kev? We've seen in the past with some of these oil stocks where when they get hit the goal, you know, strike the gold, literally liquid gold, they kind of like they do really well, you know, 50% upside, 100%, even more. We've seen in some stocks in the past when they strike it, but when they hit a duster, the share price gets hammered, doesn't it? And but then obviously they announced that the development of the Fook area of the Pine Mills field in Texas, where it holds this 32.5% interest, by implementing this secondary recovery waterflood scheme following a positive technical review of the recent drilling and newly acquired offset acreage. The Turner number one and Daniel one wells will be converted into injection wells to boost reservoir pressures and improve recovery. So what is the Buccaneer model, do you think, going forward in 26 now, proving up the Fook area?
Yeah, I think they've got to prove that up, get themselves to 250, $300 or barrels a day, and that will then give them a very nice cash flow, and then they can start going and increasing those barrels per day by buying other assets. I think that's basically what's going to happen. But you're getting that all from less than £1 million at the minute, or £1 million. So that's one of the reasons why we're choosing it now. It's because, I mean, talk about an overreaction. It basically lost about £2 million for an asset that basically cost them $150,000. If they sidetrack it, they're like 90% confident that it's going to come in anyway. So, you know, I think it's going to be sidetracked from from what he said. They basically hit the very edge of the reservoir, and it wasn't very good. So if it's sidetracked back into the main reservoir, which they're able to do now because they bought the land that they didn't own, you know, but at the same time, they're going to do the flooding first, so that basically brings up the amount of resource that will be gettable, if you like, in the oil field. So that increases their reserves and all those different things, and increases the flow rate as well. So it's obviously high risk, but they're not actually drilling anything for the next 6 months. The only thing they're going to be doing is doing this water thing and increasing their production by over 100%. So, you know, where's the risk in that?
So the I think the plan is to bring online this Turner number one project, isn't it, to within during the 6 month preparation and regulatory phase. So that's presumably what shareholders are looking out for into 2026.
Yeah. And then obviously, the Bitcoin side of things, which they were talking about flaring the gas,
Yeah.
is probably a little bit on the back burner until they get these things sorted out. But once they get those things sorted out, then I think that will also be part of the plan and create regular income. So yeah, I think it should be a good one.
Okay.
The next one is Astrid. Our old friend Siam is now COO, I think it is, and another gentleman who I forget his name, so apologies to him, but I've been in communication with them. Basically, if you're interested in a TAO play on the stock market, and TAO is basically the copy of Bitcoin for developers, and basically an independent AI. It's been explained in many different ways to me, but you know the independent S&P 500, all of these different things. They own a subnet. They're going to be using that subnet to create the TAO or to create something which creates TAO. We're going to have them on earlier in the new year. I think valuation-wise, they hold more TAO and more cash than their current market capitalization. There is at least a 1 to 2 arbitrage in that. So I think once people recognize that and start to realize actually the potential for this, for them to earn a lot over the next period of time, I can see it doing well. I can see it doing many bags. But I said that 6 months ago when I bought in, and it hasn't done it. So,
No, I mean it's trading at 5.5 million cap at 0.085, but I think it's
yeah.
all down to how well it's the Sigma Arena subnet 127, isn't it? Which I think is related to this autonomous AI systems and how well those subnets are kind of, let's say, adopted by other developers, and then, as you say, they earn the Bitensor and the TAO from the subnet, as we've talked about in the past with, the likes of Tiger Alpha and companies like that. So I think it's all down to the performance of TAO, right?
Yeah, Tiger nearly made it as well, to be honest with you. Tiger's got two subnets and actually announced just before Christmas there again that one of those subnets is going to be used in a profitable way. And it also has many other assets. The problem is that Jonathan Bixby's gone missing. And I'm happy to
MIA,
see
MIA,
yeah,
missing in action, yeah.
missing in action. He's just completely not communicating whatsoever. And has just left it basically. So I think something's going to happen with Tiger Royalties as well. We will see. We will see. And the last one on the list is a late comer for me, but did a bit of research at the end of December, and I was also talking and chatting with Mark Burnett, who is heavily involved with this, and he's also heavily involved with GMET. It's called Strategic Minerals. It's based in UK in
Cornwall.
Cornwall. They have a JORC report for 11.7 million tons at 0.82 of, have a guess what?
Tungsten, tin, copper.
Tungsten and tin and copper. Now, this is worth about 28 to 30 million pounds. Hasn't got anywhere near the resource that GMET has got, but at the end of the day, if the UK needs a resource that is definitely a resource in the United Kingdom, then here we have it. So, should this be a good play? Yes. So, that's it, really. I don't think you need to say any more. We're going to try and get Mark involved next year. I've been speaking to him, and it's one of those that if you'd caught Guardian at 15p, maybe it's the same sort of story.
Yeah,
Because tin,
they've also got elevated silver values from what I can see on the latest RNS. So polymetallic potential there, and then upcoming results from pads 2 and 3 are expected as well. So look out for those in 2026. But yeah, it looks exciting. I love projects that are, in the UK, Cornwall, Cornish tin, Cornish lithium. We've got Cornish metals. When we were at the Resourcing Tomorrow, not this year or last year's, but the previous year, we saw the Cornwall corner, and we looked at, I think Tungsten West were there with the Hemadon mine as well. We've talked about that, a big tungsten asset down there as well. So it's great to see some of these UK companies, Alba with the Wales, the Welsh Gold. They had an
What's I'm intrigued to ask you, what is your resource of 2026? So What do you think is the
I mean,
resource that's going to go bananas?
I think copper's going to continue with its mad run. I think it's going to surprise a lot of people, you know, because of the demand there, pent-up demand driving, as you say, we've talked about India's demand, people needing cars, fridges, everything else, as India and all these BRIC nations develop. Copper there just isn't enough supply of it. There just isn't enough. Silver, again, I really like the fact that some of these manufacturers like Samsung are talking about big investment in mining companies, and I think they're developing these new battery technologies that actually have the first and foremost component is silver. So I think that's driving up silver. So the two metals for me to look out for are in 2026 this year are silver and copper.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think, but I also think tungsten's going to go bananas. We saw that report just before Christmas again that Truth Socials have joined with that company that's going to be doing the fusion technology, and they need tons and tons and tons of tungsten just to do it. So yeah, that's one of the reasons why I'm looking at strategic minerals. Greatland Gold also has tungsten as well in their asset as well. And obviously the main player that we've been following for a long time now is GMET. And they had a resource update out just before Christmas as well, which was very good. And yeah, so I mean, I know we're very, very heavily weighted towards resource, but we've been talking about this now for 3 years and it's coming to fruition. You know, when we look at our picks for last year, they were, when we recorded it, it was up 85%. They're now up closer to 95%, but we're sticking with the 85% because ultimately our new picks we chose the same day as well. But yeah, it just shows you that these things can move, and they can move in hundreds of percents, you know, easily.
Okay, yeah, I think we've talked long enough there. And if you enjoyed the chat and want to stay in the loop, please hit subscribe, tap that bell icon so you never miss an update. Really appreciate you being here, and we'll catch you next time for more news and stories. Thanks for listening, and have a fantastic weekend, all.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.